This is podtech.net. I'm Catherine Girardeau. In part two of this TICON podcast, Dr. Sanjay Jha, president of Qualcomm CDMA Technologies and executive vice president of Qualcomm, talks about the need to deliver compelling content and ease of use in the wireless internet.
The biggest problem in that regard, in my opinion, is that phones tend to be multi-purpose devices, and I'm concerned, and in our surveys, we're concerned that the user interface on phones has never been that compelling. And therefore, I can easily see that there are devices with specific purpose, MP3 player connected to wide area network, but user interface and experience, out-of-box experience delivery, which is consistent with what users expect from an MP3 player. And you can imagine a lot of other dedicated devices along those lines. Here's one chart that shows that the ARPU, the revenue that you and I are prepared to pay our carriers, it correlates strongly to network. If there's good data coverage and good quality data services, then we deliver higher revenue. We use data more. The second thing is pricing simplicity. People like, certainly in the United States, in Japan, for instance, we saw very little data usage. Then KDDI and then Docomo switched to a fixed price model, and we saw just the data usage take off. People like to have fixed price models. That's what we've heard, seen. The carriers have been very reluctant to do that. They, in a lot of ways, have felt that the fixed cost model allowed for ISPs not to make a lot of money in wireline. And certainly, the economic value proposition of ISPs is not that compelling. But if we want to attract users to wireless data, I think we have to go to fixed price model. And these are some of the devices that are really pretty compelling, and we know that good devices definitely generate more revenue. So there's a Samsung device here, Z560, that's capable of delivering or accepting 3.6 megabits per second of data. It's 16 millimeter thick device. It's about the thickness of a razor. It's actually a pretty compelling device. The one below that has 7 megapixel camera. That actually looks more like a camera than a handset, but if you flip that over, it looks like a handset. Z150 is a very compelling device. It's 9.8 millimeter thick, the thinnest, 9.8 millimeter thin, the thinnest device in wideband CDMA. There's a couple of other trends which I think we've observed in the evolution of handsets. One is that the processing capability in a mobile device is tracking about 5 years to 6 years later of the capability in a PC. You'd remember that '99 was the first time that I think AMD beat Intel by a month, I think, to a gigahertz processor. We believe that we will deliver a gigahertz processor in a in a handset in 06. That's about seven. I guess that's a seven-year difference in tracking of the capability. If you think about it, internet was a confluence of three things. The network was there. We had just migrated from 28 kilobits per second to V.92, 56 kilobits per second. There was a really compelling application, which at that time was the Netscape browser, and that we had the processing and memory capability in our devices to be able to take advantage of that. A confluence of three things made the explosion of the internet that we all see and know and understand. Well, I think that something like that is really right around the corner for wireless internet also. We have the processing capability. And by the way, we're not constrained to 56 kilobits per second. By this time frame, we will have broadband data of 3.2 megabits per second. So we'll have that. We'll have the processing capability, and we'll have the processing capability at low enough cost. And a combination of this, I think, will really encourage things. There's one other big factor, which is content. I think content is going to drive the wireless internet very dramatically because it's a personal device with you. In 2008, we believe that there'll be as much as $55 billion worth of content consumed over wireless internet. Only place that the content consumption is greater than that is actually in your home through cable or any other way of delivering content to you. But the second place of content consumption, we believe, would be wireless. And we have looked at consumer electronics and done surveys, and we've correlated what features are likely in a handset and what customers care about. Multimedia phone is very likely, and our customers really are very interested in it. Broadcast TV is a very compelling example. There are two or three standards. MediaFlow is the standard that we developed, Qualcomm developed. DVB-H, we will support in our chipsets, but it's a competitive standard. And of course, there's TDMB and ISDBT. But all of these things deliver roughly 20 channels of video, 30 channels of streaming audio, and a megabit of data to your handset. So you'll have 20 channels of TV in your handset. There's a great deal of interest in having that capability. So you'll be able to watch wherever you are. You'll be able to watch your favorite baseball game or soap opera. I'm hoping, though, that people don't gather their kids and family around a cell phone at night to watch TV. Gaming is going to be very important. Gaming is already bigger than video industry. Gaming industry is already bigger than the whole Hollywood industry, and I think gaming and a portable devices, and particularly devices ubiquitous as cell phone, though the form factors may have to be varied to support that, was going to be very important. There's a great deal of interest in having Wi-Fi in your cell phone. Bluetooth headset is very interesting. Internet access is very interesting to consumers. Video player, digital media player, and digital still camera. All of these things are very compelling, interesting applications that consumers say that they want to see and they are prepared to pay as long as the quality of each of these services is equivalent to the quality of service that they get in a dedicated device. And therein lies the crux. It's actually pretty difficult to do that. And I think that that is the challenge for the wireless industry that we need to understand. This is a chart that shows on 3D gaming the kind of ability that our chipsets have already. So right here in the top right-hand corner, you see PSP, the 3D graphics capability in a PSP. And we have a device based on which there'll be handsets available later this year with about equivalent 3D graphics capability. So the cell phones and handsets are really migrating to be a multimedia device. While you want to be anywhere and be connected anytime, sometimes you actually want to know where you are. And GPS One or its assisted GPS enable a lot of location-based services to be delivered. For instance, you may want to know where your kids are at any one point, and you can your ability to track them for security purposes is of a great deal of interest to a lot of parents. There's a great deal of interest in finding concierge service. You want to say, tell me where's the nearest McDonald's, or tell me the direction from this place to somewhere else. And we've seen a great deal of interest. You may actually take a picture and want to tag the location in that picture. I think that's a great deal of interest. Gaming is very interesting. You can figure out where the five people are. You're connected to each other, and relative to your positions, you can play games of various different kinds. So in enterprise, for instance, we see lots of applications where being able to know where all your employees are or being able to direct your employees to go from place A to place B based on their location is a very important thing. So I think gaming, position location will become important. And as I mentioned to you, low-end market is a very important thing. In India, Latin America, China, Southeast Asia, there are today about 1.7 billion subs. 4.5 billion subs have wireless coverage, and there are 6.4 billion people worldwide, but only 1.7 billion subs. And the reason is that the cost of handset is higher than most can afford. And the big challenge for the wireless industry, and we are absolutely facing up to it, is to deliver low enough cost handset that a lot of people can have access to both voice and data services. There is actually a very strong correlation between the prosperity of a country and teledensity of that country. So being able to deliver data is going to be very important. And I was saying earlier, you can imagine, say, a village in India, some farmer produces some goods. Well, what he has to do is put that in a bullock cart and take it to the nearest city. And once he's there, after having traveled 5 hours in sun, he has no negotiating leverage, because he has to sell it at the price that vendor will give him, and because taking it back is just not an option. Were it that he had a data device where he could barter for the price prior to leaving, he would be guaranteed a price, and he would make a market which he's not disadvantaged in. And you can imagine distance learning. You can imagine remote diagnosis of medical conditions as being very important services that could be delivered on these data networks. And we're very focused on enabling that. So will data services continue to grow? I've told you what are the services and what are the compelling applications. Most people are still not big users of data. You use data unconsciously quite a bit, but most people are not using data to its fullest capability. There's high degree of interest in it, as I showed you in the surveys that you have done. Networks are getting there. Feature-laden handsets will reach a volume point where the price gets to a place where all of us can afford it. And then lifestyle and themed handsets will deliver the kind of consumer value that we can relate to and start using these services. Let's tie that back to semiconductor. I run the chipset business at Qualcomm, and obviously very interested in semiconductor. This shows you the breakout of the semiconductor content in a cell phone. There is a data-centric converged business at the bottom. The biggest growth area is actually imaging. People have shown a great deal of interest in the imaging application. And if you look, this is kind of the migration of where the value is going. Today, the biggest value is in GSM networks, about GSM silicon in handset, about $9 billion worth of value. And then GPRS and Edge is about $6, $7 additional on top of that. And the business that I address is about $5 billion. But if you look at the growth, the CDMA growth is really quite spectacular, from $5 billion to around $25 billion, whereas the combined GSM and GPRS is roughly constant at about 10 billion unit. We see, because of the data capability of CDMA, a tremendous growth in CDMA in that regard. So with that, let me summarize my presentation. Consumers are changing the way that wireless is being used. Or the question also is wireless changing the way that consumers use their time? But this is all leading to a large opportunity for innovation in semiconductor companies and, in fact, perhaps even greater in content, in delivering multimedia and in software. The software problem in mobile industry, in my opinion, is still largely an unsolved problem because 70-80% of what our consumers, what our OEMs do is to spend money in developing software. There are opportunities across all segments and geographies. And then finally, a plug for Qualcomm. Qualcomm was founded on innovation and is committed to even greater innovation to shape tomorrow's wireless world. And we're very interested in investing in startup companies to create an ecosystem around that innovation. Thank you very much.